falling on my head.
And just like the good evening. Welcome to Nate Timm's Lay of the Land, a show about life and politics in rural Wisconsin. Hope you all had a good week. It was kind of a rough week in spots in Wisconsin. Had a number of waves of storms rolling through. A couple of touchdowns with tornadoes. I know our friends in Boscobel got hit pretty hard. So we're thinking of them. I'm going to say a few things about happenings in rural Wisconsin. Did a little touring. And harvest is, of course, underway in lots of ways. Small grains are being harvested. Rye and in some places even wheat. In central Wisconsin, the vegetable crops are starting to be harvested. I saw sweet corn harvested this last week. They're starting potatoes. Green beans are well underway, of course. And it's an interesting time. So I wanted to report a little on our trivia question last week was who brought the first cow to Wisconsin? Well, it must have been a pretty intimidating question. We didn't get any answers. So we'll be asking another question a little later in the show tonight, so stay tuned for that. I also want to make a little bit of announcement. I don't necessarily want to make this a practice, but I'm concerned about our friends in DeForest area who weren't able to get some publicity out on a project that I think all of us are concerned about, and that's a Fair Maps issue. They're going to have a Fair Maps in the Park event on August 18th at 6:30 at DeForest Fireman's Park. Their featured speaker is going to be Mandela Barnes. And just to remind you of that, that's August 18th, 6:30, Fireman's Park in DeForest. So at this point, I want to begin the introduction of another rural background friend of mine. Mike McCabe is my guest tonight. Like myself, Mike spent some time growing up on a farm. He's had a variety of background experiences. He, of course, was executive director of Democracy Campaign. He was also the founder of the and president of the Blue Jean Nation organization. And he even had a little experience running for governor in the state of Wisconsin, all of which puts him in a very good position to discuss the things we're going to be talking about tonight, which is the politics in rural Wisconsin. So greetings, Mike. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Nate. Good to be with you.
Thank you. Good to have you. So we're going to start by talking about how the rural experience has influenced our perspective on politics. And we take a little dip back in time. Both your parents and my parents lived in a different time. And what would you say the political perspective of our parents was in contrast to the perspective we have today on politics in rural Wisconsin?
Well, if you color code politics the way so many people do, and you think of Republicans being red and Democrats being blue, you know, to me, our parents' generation was bright purple and very independent-minded. And some rural communities voted Republican, some rural communities voted strongly Democratic. And there were an awful lot of Democrats representing rural communities across the state of Wisconsin. Even when I was in my 20s, and you know, when I first started working around the Capitol back in the early 1980s, you had people like Dale Boley from the Manitowoc area, Jervis Hefner, who was in that same area from a little town named New Holstein, very conservative Democrats, and you had the more moderate type Democrats, you know, Lloyd Kincaid, and Tom Harnish was more of a liberal. You go back even a little bit earlier, and one of the truest progressives to ever serve in the state legislature in Wisconsin had to be Frank Nicolay. And Frank Nicolay represented an area where I grew up, Clark County. He was from Abbotsford. And no truer progressive has ever served in Wisconsin legislature. He was a firebrand and was representing rural communities that are now bright red, that are represented solely by Republicans. So to me, the big change is that, you know, in my parents' and even grandparents' generation, you saw a lot of Democrats representing rural Wisconsin. And you know, many farmers and rural people in Wisconsin were Republicans, but just about as many were Democrats, and Democrats did represent many areas of the state. And now what you see is Democrats representing the cities, starting to make some serious inroads in the suburbs. But boy, you go out into rural districts and they are being overwhelmingly represented by Republicans. That's a big change. And, you know, so to me, you know, there's always been a couple of strands that might even seem contradictory to people, but they're not to me, having come from a rural area. There's self-reliance, that idea of being independent and looking out, you know, making sure you're pulling your own weight and taking care of yourself. Self-reliance is very powerful. But then there was also the, you know, that tremendous sense of community. I actually participated, Nate, in two barn raisings. Where one neighbor lost a barn to a tornado, another lost a barn to a fire, and people would come from miles around and built a new barn for them in a day. So there was that strong sense of community obligation as well. Republicans really emphasize the self-reliance part. Democrats have emphasized the community and interdependence, and that sense of obligation to neighbors that was such a strong part of the rural identity as I grew up has, I think, fallen on a little bit of hard times.
That's very interesting that you mentioned the barn raising dimension, because that's certainly my perspective also, that there's has been a very strong community dimension to rural life. And I think that's a theme that has potential for future exploration by progressive or Democrat leaning, or whatever direction you want to, however you want to color them. My dad, this is probably something you're acquainted with too. My dad happened to be one of the guys who had a shredding machine for those of you don't know what a shredder is. That was the preceding machine to the combine. He had a shredder that processed corn and took the ears off from a corn stalk and separated them. The fodder was blown up into a barn or a pile, and the ears of corn was separated off from the stalk and put in a wagon. So he owned the machine and went farm to farm shredding corn for his neighbors. Well, that provided, just like you talked about the barn raising, that was a community event.
Yep.
Everybody got together at these different farms and shredded corn together. He also had a threshing machine, also called a separator, and that was to separate oats, the grain oats, from the straw. And he did that as well. And similarly, that was a rural community event.
My dad would talk about threshing gangs.
There you
where
go.
People would go from farm to farm to farm, and they'd be part of a threshing gang, and they would have the one threshing machine, and they would take it around each farm and work on their harvests together.
That's exactly right.
Yep. Yep.
And so the whole community of close neighbors would be together in, say, August probably, for threshing, and then they'd be together again probably in November for shredding.
Yep.
So at least twice a year, the community would be together for major events. And then during the winter time, in many communities, there would be some kind of community gathering for card parties, or, of course, at the Christmas time, there'd be a Christmas program probably at the school. So throughout the year, there would be different events that would bring community together in these rural areas.
And that, of course, helps shape rural politics. And now with the corporatization of agriculture, where you got these gigantic mammoth factories, and they've got their own machinery and their self-contained operations, and they're milking 5,000 cows. And, you know, that has been part of what has broken down some of that community interdependence and the sense of obligation to neighbors that not only was a big part of my life, but also definitely shaped rural politics.
Yep. The whole community dimension has changed. So that's when in a few minutes we'll be going away, and we'll come back and talk some more about community and politics. So stay with us. We'll be back in a few minutes. Thank you.
Steps up to greet me. Raindrops keep falling on my head, but that doesn't mean my eyes will soon be turning red. Crying's not for me, 'cause I'm never gonna stop the rain.